So we're on to the Sweet 16, some incredible matchups. I said we would go back-to-back with our interviews, and that's exactly what we're going to do. Just had a conversation with Houston Cougars head coach Kelvin Sampson, and right now we are joined by the interim head coach of the Texas Longhorns. It's actually his second stint with the program. He had been with UT previously for 9 years with Rick Barnes, also previously a head coach at Fresno State and UTEP. The Longhorns are the 2 seed in the Midwest. They're going to play number 3 Xavier tomorrow. Really good matchup in Kansas City. Rodney Terry is my guest. Rodney, it's great to have you on. How are you?
I'm doing great today, Jim. Thanks for having me.
It's great to have you on. So let me ask you, you are a Texas guy through and through. You grew up there. As I mentioned, Rodney, you coached with Rick Barnes for 9 years. I mean, the whole thing is just so wild. Did you ever think that you would work your way back to UT, end up leading this program? Like, I get that you have to be exactly where your feet are, but the whole thing, is it just so surreal on some level, even to you?
Well, you know what, Jim? Never in my wildest dreams that I thought I'd be back at the University of Texas coaching. Always thought I'd make my way back to Austin at some point because I love Austin, but never back at the University of Texas coaching. So yes, it has been very surreal and but an incredible experience.
Rodney Terry, my guest. So what about the process itself? Like, what was it like to step in midseason following the suspension and eventual firing of Chris Beard and get control of the situation and then ensure that nobody lets go of the rope and that everybody remained committed to one another and keeping the main thing the main thing? How did you do that?
Well, it wasn't easy. I mean, we assembled a really good staff for one, and we had great chemistry with our staff. Our team already had really good chemistry from the start of the summer and into the early fall. So we had a good group of older guys that also had great leadership from the team as well. I was already coaching and in front of the guys, for the last year and a half. So, you know, stepping in and being in front of those guys, they were used to seeing me in that type of capacity. So, you know, I think with everyone stepping up into another level in terms of our staff and also, you know, the commitment level from our team, we've been able to stay the course this season.
Talking to Rodney Terry, I love this. You pretty much start every single day, right, by telling your players, it's a great day to be alive. It's a great day to be alive. Why do you start most or every day like that? And when you tell them that, what do you want them to hear and think?
You know what, Jim? I got that from one of my former coaches. I played football. And growing up in the state of Texas, everybody has to play football. So I played football all the way through high school. And I had a high school coach who had played for Bear Bryant. He's one of those Junction boys. And he was a tough, hard-nosed guy. But he come into practice every day. And he said, it's a great day to be alive, man. And we look at him like he was kind of half crazy a little bit. But you know, as you got older, you really learn to respect every day is a privilege to be here and be granted another day to try to have an incredible day. So I always said that to all my teams, and it was something I picked up from my high school coach.
See, I think that's great, Rodney, what you just said, that having grown up there, you had to play football. You're in Texas. Everybody plays football, which is interesting because it's a football state, football town there, football school. But Steve Sarkisian was saying the other day that he texts you after every single game. He called you an inspiration, in fact. What's that mean to you to hear that from him, that you're an inspiration to him?
Well, it means a great deal. I mean, you know, at the University of Texas, our coaching fraternity on our campus is elite. We have the best of the best. Coach Sark's in the process right now of bringing Texas football back to the top as well. He's done an incredible job in the short time that he's been here. And a lot of respect for him and his program in terms of what he's doing, you know, from the football side of things. They've been so supportive. And I think all of our head coaches on our campus are very supportive of one another. And we're all pulling for each other to again, try to be the best that we can be in our individual sports.
Rodney Terry's joining us. We're talking about the Longhorns. Rodney, you, of course, have famously devoted and dedicated this season to your father, who you lost back in August. You are a coach's son. And you've talked about what he meant to you, obviously, but what he meant to so many people that he coached, so many lives that he touched. If you could, can you take another moment and tell me, what was your dad like? And if he were here right now, what would he tell you ahead of arguably the biggest game of your life?
Well, he's a pretty witty guy to begin with. I mean, I think his personality, people just love being around him and the way he carried himself, and he always made everybody feel comfortable around him. But also in terms of working with young people, I thought he did an incredible job with always, you know, putting guys on great paths and sharing a great vision in terms of what they could be in the future. And just had so much impact on young people, you know, at our service. So many people said so many things about him. You know, if I could just be half the man that he was in terms of the way he had, you know, an impact on people, I'd be living a really good life.
Rodney Terry, my guest, I know this. I lost my father, too. And one of my favorite things in life is when people who knew him, people who worked with him, people who did business with him would tell me stories about him. I'm like, really? That? I used to get such a kick out of that. So I know what you're talking about. Let me ask you this, Rodney. I'm a watch guy. Watch guys know other watch guys. We stick together. I know you gave your dad a watch. That's a really personal thing. That's deeply personal if you gave your father a watch. What kind of a watch was it, and then what happened to the watch? Because with every great watch, there's a great story behind that watch.
No, for sure. You know, we're the one percenters. You know, watch guys are one percenters. Not a lot of people out there, you know, that are fond of, you know, spending money on nice watches and have a fondness for that. But he and I shared that. We shared that along with shoes. But I gave him one of my GMTs, one of the first watches that I ever bought in terms of being an expensive watch, a Rolex watch. And with it being one of the first, it was very sentimental to myself. And I wanted to share that with him. And, you know, he didn't know I was giving him that watch. And when I did, man, it really knocked his shoes off. And he beamed with pride every time he had that watch on. And he really babied that watch a lot in terms of loving it. So, you know, took a lot of pride in having it. So, you know, when he passed, I was like, you know what? You know, I'm going to wear that watch at every game. He always got nervous at games as well. He could never really finish games out. At games that I was coaching, he'd always go and walk away for a little bit and come back and say, hey, did we win? But I always wanted to have him close to me. And I vowed to my mom that I was going to wear you know, that watch in every single game that I coached for the rest of my career, so I could always have him with me there on the sideline.
Rodney, I love every second of that response. I love the way you laid that out. I love that you said that we are the 1%, because you're right. Everybody looks at their phone. They don't want a watch. They don't want to pay for a watch. Watch people do stick together. Number two, I love that you referenced what it was, because you know I was going to ask. It was a GMT. Number three, I love, and I get this, man. I understand this. When you, quote, make it, or you finally have enough money to buy that one nice piece and you take that step up, you always remember the first one. I love that you gave it to your dad. I love that you have it and you still wear it. I love everything about that response. It's really awesome. Let me ask you really quickly about the team. It's very clear how your players feel about you. And I say that because, one, they state it. They're upfront about it. They say how they feel about you, and I see how hard they play for you. How do you feel about that group? When you see them, what do you think about them, and how do they make you feel?
Well, I love our guys, you know, and we were able, fortunate enough to get seven guys to come back from last year's team that have done a great job defending our culture this year and really want it more in this season. You know, those guys, they're extremely hard workers. They have great character, and I just love being around them. I mean, you know, I never stopped being myself. You know, Coach Beard obviously started the season as the head coach, and then when I stepped into that role, you know, I didn't try to come in and try to be Coach Beard. I just tried to continue to be Coach Terry. And I think those guys really respected that and really, really bought into what we were trying to get done for this season.
So let me ask you about that before you go. For instance, you're right. I mean, this whole interim thing, like, yeah, you are the interim head coach right now, but you were a head coach. You were a head coach for 10 years. You were a head coach at two different programs. So you've done this before. I'm kind of curious, like, did you think to yourself, and I would imagine you would, having grown up the way you did and processing everything the way you did you ever think to yourself, if I get another opportunity, here's what I would do differently? And what have you done differently now with this opportunity?
Well, I came to the University of Texas, one with the, you know, joining Chris and being a co-head coach here at the University of Texas, with the mission to come back and try to win a national championship. And I understand how powerful the Texas brand, you know, is. And I've been a part of that and been a part of us at the highest level of having success in basketball at this university. And with that in mind, I had an idea that I was going to be able to come back here and help us try to win a national championship and try to be a Power Five head coach again myself. I think having taken a year off put a lot of things in perspective, though, in terms of how I wanted to come back and be a best version of myself as a head coach again. I wanted to really enjoy it a lot more than I did the previous 10 years being a head coach and really soak in every day and try to have a smile on my face and enjoy working with the guys every single day.
So I know what you'll say to this, but I'm going to ask the question anyway. I've talked to too many coaches to know otherwise, but it is so hard to be where you are right now. It is so hard to get to the tournament. It's so hard to win a game in the tournament. It's so hard to advance to this. I understand that you're locked. I mean, you are locked. in with what's right in front of you. Having said that, you've had an amazing season. Personally, is there any part of you that is at all frustrated that that interim label has not been lifted yet?
Well, I'll tell you what, Jim, I mean, we've been so lost in the season and, enjoy working with these guys every single day. I've said to our guys from the very beginning, you control what you can control. And our administration's been great. They really have. They've had my back from the very beginning. And throughout the whole process, they've been tremendous in supporting what we're doing and how we're doing it. And, our other head coaches on campus have been very supportive. And again, right now we're laser focused. We have an incredible matchup with a really good Xavier team, well-coached team. Sean Miller's one of the best coaches in the business. And we know we're going to have an incredible challenge come tomorrow night. But it's been a great journey. And we hope to keep this thing moving forward.
All right, so one quick follow and I'll let you go. What about Xavier? You know they can shoot the heck out of it. We know this. What else do you see in the film, and what are your biggest challenges when it comes to them?
Well, they're a really good offensive team. I mean, they can really push the ball and play in transition. 80 points a game. They're one of the best, 3-point shooting teams in the country. Sule Boom has had a phenomenal year. I coached Sule for 3 years at UTEP, and he's one of the best, not only best players I've ever coached, but one of the best person that I've ever coached as well. A fierce competitor, and he's had a great season. But their team's had a great season. They can play inside with Nunji inside there, and Hunter's playing really well for them. But they've got a great cast of guys, and they've had an incredible season as well. So they're going to put a lot of pressure on us to get back and really try to defend and guard a really good offensive team.
Such a good matchup. You've got to deal with them, but they have to deal with you. The Longhorns are the 2 seed in the Midwest. They're going to play Xavier, the 3, tomorrow night in Kansas City. The interim head coach of the Longhorns is Rodney Terry. Rodney, I know you got a lot going on, an awful lot going on. I really appreciate the visit. So good to have you on the show. Good luck tomorrow night.
Jim, thanks for having me. Appreciate you, buddy.
Appreciate you, too. Good luck, Coach. Rodney Terry joining us. Love that conversation. So, like I said, back-to-back, we're trying to get you as many Sweet 16 coaches as we can prior to these matchups. That's Rodney Terry.